There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, Mr. Las Vegas. You're listening to Cats with the Dish, voluntarily. I'm John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, and in the Sun print edition, 8 days a week. How's it going, Trish?
It's going good. Trisha McCrone, Las Vegas publicist and national television producer. And as this airs, when this show airs, at this moment that people are listening, we will be in Montana.
We will be in the great Aloha State.
Well, what I think the funny thing is,
Big Sky Country,
is that I have a family that have a place in Montana, so I was planning on going, and I've had a rough few weeks with the loss of my two little baby Malteses, and with my lupus, I have a really hard time here in the heat in the summer, and I do very, very well in the weather in Montana.
As somebody who doesn't suffer from lupus, I also have a tough time with the heat in Las Vegas.
There you go. I'm physically sick type of a thing in Las Vegas. But this is the kind of a friend that you are, Johnny Katz.
I'm a driving friend.
Is that I agreed to drive a car, a family car, and a dog to Montana. And you said, I will go with you. I'm a road tripper. I will go with you. And it was so cute of you to do this because
this was an invitation that has been kind of lingering for a while.
I've been inviting you to come to Montana for
and your
forever.
Family has mentioned it. We talked about it at the opening of the Nikki Beach. Your family has just been been great to me. They have been great to me. I love them. And so this is not really a favor. It's just something to do that's different and fun. You know, and I will say the last time I took a dog to the mountain states, it was a greyhound into Pocatello. Hey. that's true too. I've done a lot of these road trips into Idaho. My family originally is from there. So
and
I know the routine.
We do go through Pocatello. 12, 13, we're going through. We go through Pocatello.
The gate city there. My roots will go by Lava Hot Springs, where my father owns the Lava Hot Springs Inn, where a lot of people stay on their way to places like Montana. And I expect that at this airing, we're having a terrific time where I've been kicked off the property.
The thing that I'm wondering is, will we still be friends after you spend 15 hours in the car with me and a puppy Rhodesian Ridgeback?
Hey, if I could do these family trips, believe me, I'm a road trip veteran. I've done all configurations. I mean, no lie, but I only have a few rules, as you know. We sing a lot of show tunes in the car. We stop at every rest stop and pray. And every 500 miles, we perform calisthenics. Other than that, I get control of all the music. So
no.
A heavy dose of Rush, Beatles, and maybe some Van Halen and Scorpions.
Oh my gosh! Well, you can expect a lot of Glee.
I'm expecting no Glee. Oh, you talk about the
music,
show?
Yeah, you expect a lot of Glee. No, but I'm not such a good road tripper, and I'm letting you know this
somehow
in
that
advance.
Doesn't surprise me.
Because if I'm not driving, I'm sleeping. I'm not a very good co-pilot, I guess, as you could say, because if I'm not driving, I'm bored and I just want to go to sleep.
I just drove up and back to Boise about a month ago for my brother's, whatever it was, 6 or 7 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it was, for his wedding up there in Boise. I went up and back by myself.
I remember that. Well, yeah, it's part of this, you will
ticket.
Feel like you're by yourself because I'll be sleeping. I hope that by the time
you Wilson
this airs,
like in Castaway.
Exactly. I will, you know, or Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's. But
I hope not.
I know that's not even a funny
Bernadette.
Joke. Bernadette. That's not even a joke. But but it is going to be a little bit fun. We're going to do this trip, and when we get there, it's going to be it's such a beautiful, beautiful area, and the people there are lovely, and it's just, I'm excited. It's just these quaint little towns everywhere, and you know, you can find some amazing things. And we're going to live in Huckleberry.
As I told Wayne, I plan to do a lot of frolicking nude through the pasture, befriending sheep. You know how it works.
Oh, I don't know. But and then we can stock up on Huckleberry coffee. I've gotten you, like I've gotten many people in the country, I've gotten you addicted to my Huckleberry coffee. So you will now become addicted to Huckleberry coffee, Huckleberry pie, Huckleberry chocolate, Huckleberry jelly beans, Huckleberry gummy bears. I mean, you get a little Huckleberry obsessed in this.
Huckleberry hound, Huckleberry wine, as they say. Well, let's talk about our show coming up.
Yes.
We have one of the original divas of Las Vegas who fronts the show, Frank Marino's Divas, Frank Marino himself.
Yes.
And followed by Las Vegas Hilton Shimmer Cabaret headliner Greg London and movies by Josh Bell.
It's going to be fun. Stay
with
tuned.
Us. Viva Las Vegas.
This is Anthony Crivello from Phantom, the Las Vegas Spectacular, and you're listening to Cats with a Dish.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is a man's man, even when he's wearing a gown and high heels. For 25 years, he was the host of an evening at La Cage at the Riviera. Most recently, he has relocated to the Imperial Palace in a show titled Frank Marino's Divas Las Vegas, and he is the star of the show. Welcome to Cats with a Dish, the great Frank Marino.
Good to be here.
Good to see you.
We're so excited to have you, Frank. And one of the things I love about you is that you have a no BS factor. You are like, you think it, you say it, and it's so refreshing. Like, not only personally, we had dinner with you not too long
after Paul McCartney. The McCartney show.
And I think I laughed. It's one of the hardest I've laughed in a long time. I mean, we're like 2 hours there just laughing hysterically.
I'm actually probably better off stage than on stage.
You're very funny on stage.
I have a regimented show on stage, but off stage it just comes out.
It was
out.
Like, Paul, I felt like Paul McCartney opened for you that night at the end of the show. I'd been musically and comedically
yes, you are the true diva in all sense of the word, Frank, and I love that about you. So now, Divas, how is it different than La Cage?
Divas, I wanted to really change it up a little bit. When I had La Cage over at the Riviera, it was more of a cabaret-style show. So when I moved it over to the Imperial Palace, it was such a much bigger room and there was more production space. I said, let's just make it a bigger show. So I made it more MTV. Characters like Rihanna, Lady Gaga, Britney Spears. I wanted to get away from the Judy Garland and Carol Channing and stuff that they had done in the past. So I guess the main difference is more MTV, VH1. We keep the staple characters like Cher and Madonna for the older people, but we also do something so that we have the young guys there as well.
And the Britney Spears, Derek Barry, correct? It's Derek Barry?
Yes.
I swear every guy that I have literally taken to your show or has seen Derek Barry is like, there's no way that's a guy. She's so hot. I'm like, okay, Frank's not like throwing in a girl just to throw you off. Yeah. They're all men.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And I've seen other Britney impersonators that are really women in other shows on the strip, and they always look like Britney's mom because they're always so much older. So the funny thing is, out of makeup, Derek could be Britney's brother. I mean, he's lucky enough to have her exact facial structure.
And like all of the men in the show, it makes me want to go on a diet and not eat again because the bodies are just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they get younger and younger in my show. And I just think, oh my God, how much Botox can I get?
Like me. You want to put it on IVs at all times.
Exactly. Just keep it drip, a little drip.
Exactly.
What is that? Botox.
I got to say, I haven't seen the show now, finally.
Yes, we finally got cats out.
I had not seen Frank in action, and that was just completely incidental until last weekend, and until a couple weekends now. And as a straight man watching the show, I had to keep reminding myself that those were women on stage, that they were women.
Well, you know,
on stage, it was really.
I think the way we sell our tickets is that people pre-book online. That's a new big thing for your big shows, your Celine Dion, your O's, your this, your that. And I know my place that I'm a second thought show. That when they get to Vegas, they'll see a billboard or a cab back or whatever, and the wife will always say, oh, I'd like to see that. I saw him on whatever, the talk show or the Travel Channel special. And the husband would be like, really? That's not my kind of show. And the wife wins usually all the time.
Yes. Of course.
So she drags him in. And then by the middle of the show, like you said, when Britney comes on and when Cher comes on, the man's usually got his hands on the table with his fist at his cheeks looking like in amazement. And the wife has to actually tap him and go, do you remember the guys?
Exactly. Well, you said, I would have to disagree that you're not like a first thought of a show, because I hear that there's some incredible dressing room that has happened. You have this quite the amazing dressing room.
I do. I went into the new hotel and they had given me a dressing room that was kind of ratty. So I took this dressing room and I just like made it amazing. It's all purple and lab. So people come into the dressing room and they're in awe. But then I have this beautiful dressing room. The reason I'm telling you, it's like, we couldn't find a room that had a shower and facilities for me because there's so many shows in the building. Sure. It is so deep in the basement, my neighbors are like Chilean coal miners.
But that's what happened to them, huh?
We wondered where they went.
That wasn't a bad deal that they got, actually.
But it's far away. It's about a 10-minute cab ride to the stage if you make all the lights. But it is beautiful.
Well, I do have to say that, as we said, Katz actually did say, he's like, these all are all men, right? He did say that to me at one point.
At one point, I did say that. I had to.
Because, Brittany, if you were in a nightclub, let's be honest, and it wasn't fluorescent lighting and it was, mood lighting for a club, you would definitely question it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm.
Oh, no, no, I don't know about. Okay, I disagree with that because I you're right, but I wouldn't know. But yes, oh, yeah. You're probably right.
Well,
but
I was
know
asking.
From the stage, I think that they are like. I mean, Celine looks more like Celine than Celine.
What's funny is I met Celine Dion for the first time. What Saturday?
I saw it on Twitter.
Yes, yeah, Friday night.
A photo of you guys together.
And the first thing I did was showed a picture of Steven, who does Celine in our show, from the iPhone to her, and she was amazed. And she goes, "Oh, maybe now I could take a day off and he could fill in for me."
Oh, I love it.
She was so nice
That's
about
funny.
It. Yeah.
Oh,
That's
I
good.
Love it. Okay, so now I'm going to switch gears a little bit. We talked about the show. Everyone has to go see what day, you're Dark on Fridays,
Divas
right?
Las Vegas every night at 10 p.m. except Friday at the Imperial Palace.
Okay, you have to go see it. It's incredible. I mean, these men are amazing.
Great,
and
yeah, great production.
So talented.
Really
and
funny. Frank is really funny.
And Frank.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, and men will love it as well as
yeah,
women.
Yeah, men. And I have to say, Frank, everyone knows you are just hysterical. And the gowns. We have to give a little shout out to Bob Mackie and all. The gowns. Literally every 2 minutes you are changing into a new gown. How on earth do you get everything in there and get everything done so fast?
What do you ask me? Where I put it?
Well, yeah. Okay, yes. Where do you put
That's
it?
That's a question
where
I
would
had
you
for
like
a lot
it?
Of those ads. That's the line, Dish. That's the one
no,
you use.
No, say the line about the dress that is...
It was made like a cheap hotel. There's no ballroom.
I love that line.
How many? You have a lot of costume changes. What is it? Like eight
I changed eight or nine. 17.
17?
17 per show. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's the most I've ever done. It's usually 15.
It's wigs. It's everything. It's wigs. It's jewelry. It's dress. It's not just like you just change a little. Like
I have this like compulsive thing where I don't want to wear the same jewelry or the same shoes with each gown. I could wear clear shoes and get away with everything. But from the early days, people would always comment on my shoes. And I thought, if one person's noticing, a lot of people are probably noticing. Mm-hmm. So let me keep it special for them. And it's Vegas. And you could go next door to see the girl next door. You come to Vegas, you want to give a little something more. So
well,
I try
it is.
To give
it's
that.
It's amazing. The gowns, everything. It really is a first-rate show. And please go see it in Imperial Palace. Okay, now I want to get down to some stuff. You have you've kind of had been out very vocally about your former person that you worked with at Lacage, Norbert.
I don't use the N-word anymore, but since you did.
Norbert Ailman.
Now, that's a give him more press. Last name's too. Go
so,
ahead.
So now,
just
obviously,
as a matter of disclosure.
Leaving Lacage, Divas is really your baby. You
yes.
created this, and this is your baby, so it doesn't have anybody else's really attached to it as far as what is your thing. Now, it has just come out that the N-word is now opening up a Lacage again with somebody else at a different hotel. How do you feel about that?
He apparently licensed the name to the gentleman who did the comedy spot in the Lacage show that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
He's apparently has nothing to do with it except he's letting them use the name so they could start up a show and also letting them use some of the old costumes that we used over at Lacage.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be downtown. We're going to be uptown. I really feel there's enough people. I don't think the people really intertwine that much. I don't think the people downtown are really coming up to the Strip, and I really don't think the Strip people are traveling all the way downtown. So I believe there's room enough for both shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like when I left, I took as many people with me as I could. Hopefully now they'll be able to employ the rest of the people.
Great.
And they're creating
more,
jobs.
Yeah. And creating jobs, absolutely. And right now, so many people
what
need
What do you think
them.
About a brand that is so closely aligned with you living on now without you downtown?
It's strange for me because, like you said, that was his baby. That Divas is my baby, but that was my baby too. I had never
25
in my
years.
Yeah, never had another job.
Years,
that was my only job ever. I was working weekends in a pharmacy while I was going to college because I was originally thought to be a doctor, and I would hang out at the makeup counter. And that's how this all got started. But that was like a weekend job that I would just work on Sundays. So really, I never had a real job until I became the star. My only job was to be the star of Lacage. So that's like my baby. I didn't own it, but, you know, I put my input where I could get it.
Well, you were the face on the billboards. You were the name on the billboards. I mean, it was kind of, I looked at it like Frank's show. I never looked at it
so
as
did
the
I.
Gosh.
and the
N-word might have had a problem with that.
Probably.
and the person who's fronting the show was part of the cast. Jimmy Emerson?
Yeah.
Was part of the Lacage.
He played the comedy act, and he actually filled in for me a few times over at Divas when I've had it. You know, I left a few times to do a couple TV shows. And so we're friends, and I hope that, you know, they do well. Not only him, but the rest of the people in that show.
Could you foresee Frank ever guesting in that show for any configuration?
If Jimmy got ill and needed me to do something, I would do it. I don't know if Caesars Entertainment would let me do it, but I would do it to help out.
Mm-hmm.
if it was just asked to do it for fun, no, I probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
It would only be to help somebody. I had a gallbladder operation earlier this year. He jumped in and filled in for me. He had a gallbladder operation a year ago, and I jumped in and filled in for him. So it's just really
karma.
Odd. Yeah. That, yeah. So we're connected by gallbladder.
Exactly. You're both gallbladderless. That's a way to look at it. So now, is there anybody in town that just kind of just bugs you?
Yeah, actually, right now the town's okay. there have been people in the past, like the other show. There was another drag show called Boylesque.
I remember seeing Boylesque.
And the
Kenny
star,
Kerr.
Yes, he bugged me.
Yeah.
What is going on with Kenny anyway? He's
I believe he's in Palm Springs now.
Okay. Yeah.
Just kind of enjoying time, I guess.
In my whole time since I've lived here, since 95, 96. Yeah, I don't think he's been too prominent, even in that period of time.
And before you got here, I had some really awful verbal arguments in print with him that I'm kind of embarrassed of now that I'm an adult. I'm almost 30, for God's sake.
I don't think you'll ever grow up, Frank. Thank you. And that's what I love about you.
What can you expect out of a 7-year-old?
That's right.
Exactly.
But, you know, and I certainly don't want that to happen with the new show opening up. They're, you know what? I'm no longer competing with other female impersonation shows or with other look-like tribute shows, if you want to call them. We're all competing with all shows.
Yeah, every show on
the
strip.
Yeah, big Cirque shows are, you know, somebody's filling up. If there's 100,000 people in the week in Vegas in the particular week, those people are going to go to the shows they're going to go to. So it's to get your face out there and to get people convinced to see your product instead of another product,
right.
I guess.
Yeah. Right. Let me ask you this about dressing in women's attire, Frank.
Do you wear women's underwear when you wear it?
I don't. I don't wear any underwear.
One of the comments I get
I need to know that question. I've always
I hadn't thought of that question,
I didn't interrupt.
Thanks for interjecting.
Okay.
But one of the comments I get from my female friends when we're getting ready to go out, like the other night was an example, is how lucky I am to be a guy because I don't have to spend a lot of time working on getting myself together. It's relatively easy. And with women, it takes forever. Now, as a man who has to do that a lot, is it a drag to be in drag? Or would you just prefer to be able to dress as a guy and not have to deal with any of it?
The answer, real quick, is yes. I would much rather just have to go. Well, you see, even for our interview today, I have long hair and I didn't want to blow dry my own hair and get all dressed. For what reason? Because in an hour, I'm going to be going to work and have to get undressed again and change 17 times. So it's kind of a pain in the neck, because to get all nice for an interview would mean a lot of work as well.
Right.
Yes.
So that's why I very kindly asked you, is it okay if I just wear like casual clothes
and a hat? Well, you know what is so funny
is
because I definitely usually when I go out, I try to pride myself in the fact that I usually pull it together and look fairly nice. Well, the one time that it was because, Cats wanted to see the show absolutely before you came on the show, and we had this discussion over dinner how that it's outrageous that he had never seen the show.
Outrageous.
But I had
a bathing suit on.
I had come from a spray tan, and so I couldn't put anything on, so I literally just had on, you know, kind of a maxi dress, strapless, and no makeup on, and my hair in a ponytail, you know, as it is right now. And it was so funny that I was like, I was so embarrassed.
And
I'm
her
like,
girlfriend was wearing terry cloth, just go
I
with
know,
it.
Exactly. So I'm saying,
Velcro.
So I'm literally like, Alicia Jacobs is with us, we're literally apologizing to you, like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed, I just spray tan. The next day, I run into somebody very close to you at the Backstreet Boys concert.
And he said
something.
And
he says, oh, I heard you showed up last night looking like you just came from the pool. And I'm like 13
wow.
years in
and
this
you
town.
Know what? And here's the deal, because you're always so put together I see you, that both of you, it looks like runway models usually.
And we
and
both
I was like,
we
were they
so
fired from their modeling agency?
I was like, of course, Frank had to tell me. He's like, oh, I heard.
Just don't tell
I'm
my
standing
agent.
There in a $10,000 Bob Mackie dress, and they're wearing terry cloth. You want to go with that?
He's like, well, wait till I tell Frank that you dressed up for the Backstreet Boys, New Kids.
You see that?
Oh, jeez. That's too funny.
I love that about you. That's so funny.
That is too much.
So I want to kind of change the subject to get a little bit serious here, because you are very, very close with your mother.
Yes.
And when I say close, you pick on her like nobody's business.
Oh,
I have never seen
her
anybody.
Give her ammo. She's in the next room now.
Yeah.
I'd have to ride home a half hour with her.
I'm going
to
stick up for mom here.
We
or
have
not.
A deal. I gave her for her birthday. Part of her gift was I won't pick on her till Christmas. So if you think I'm picking on her.
Oh, yeah. But you know what?
It would have been worse.
The gift that keeps giving.
We were with you and you were getting as many in as you could till midnight.
Oh, it was the last day.
Yes.
Okay.
Until,
so
that's right.
Her
birthday was
my
midnight.
Story, my version is I don't do that anymore.
Okay. But okay, until Christmas. But then we were talking about plastic surgery and things like that. We were getting into this conversation just the other night, and you said, yes, and would you please say, my mom needs plastic surgery? Now, I'm like, again, picking on mom, and I thought you made the agreement.
No, that's not picking on mom. I've had plastic surgery. That's not a bad thing.
Your mom is gorgeous. But now
I've had more parts lifted on my face than on an abandoned Mercedes.
You did a story. There was a story. There was a newspaper story. There's a Mercedes-Benz endorsement right. coming your way. There was a story that you worked on a few years ago where you had, was it a facelift?
I had a neck done.
A neck done.
Yes.
That they'd chronicled the whole thing.
They did. And you want to know.
Why did you do that?
How crazy this is. We were talking earlier about Kenny Kerr, who I had arguments with.
Yeah.
Well, that happened to be a day where I had an argument with him as well. So I was doing an old joke about, I said something like, I forget how we got here. It was the Nina, the Pinter, the Santa Maria or something. Imprint in a small column in the Review Journal.
Uh-huh.
When I had the full cover of the living section all bandaged up to tell this final part of the story. And I didn't get one phone call saying, oh my God, Frank, I saw you on the cover of the living section.
Are you okay?
Yeah, exactly. All I got was from the three lines in somebody's column saying, I can't believe you had another fight with Kenny. And I'm like, I'm on the cover of the paper in bandage. Like, I just got back from Iraq. And you're worried that I said something nasty about Kenny?
But that is a funny line. This is Vince and Nina Santa Maria.
That shows where people's priorities
exactly.
are.
I'm just wondering if you ever got an answer to which...
Was it the Nina or the Pinter or the Santa?
I'm going to take Santa Maria for 50 hours.
I don't know. He asked his friend, Mr. Lincoln, and he told him. But
but now your story is that you found your mom. I mean, you found your birth mom. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Because I'm just fascinated by this.
I was adopted at birth. I grew up with the Marinos, who is my, surname. And I didn't know I was adopted. They passed away at 6 and 9. And this, mm-hmm. I went to live with my godparents, mm-hmm. and the school psychiatrist said, don't tell him right now. It's not the right time. You just lost one set of parents. Okay. So when is the right time after that? When you having dinner one night at 12 years old and go, oh, by the way, I meant to tell you. So it never, mm-hmm. ever came up, right? P.S. forward, I'm in Las Vegas, and after the show, I'm signing autographs, and you talk to people. And these women were here on a convention for adoption. And they said, we do searches for people because it's very hard to do and everything's sealed and this and that.
Yes.
But they had people placed in all different places to break it open.
Hmm.
Long story short, I gave them the little bit of information I got. And in 3 days, they found my mother.
Wow.
Wow.
What year was this? About when was this?
About 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I mean, and it's so funny because literally you guys look so much alike. And you guys
have the
same personalities.
So it goes to show you like what biologically comes through on a person and what is learned, what I'm saying?
But now, were you nervous? So, I mean, I would imagine I would have been terrified.
Yes, I guess I don't remember. It was a while ago, but I probably was very nervous.
What was that meeting like initially? Do you remember?
I think she'll tell you the first thing I said to her. So that's where I got my nose from. That I ran in when I was 16 and had it fixed.
Hey, Mom!
So I know we should have her in here for rebuttal.
That can't be true. He was 17. did you really have it done? Did you really work done at 16?
That's what you do on Long Island. You didn't know that? Long Island,
where I lived,
all the kids, it was an Italian Jewish neighborhood. And when you had Easter break, you'd run in and get your nose done and you'd have the Band-Aid on for the next month afterwards. And
a lot of prominent schnozzes in that community.
Yeah, a lot
huh?
of, you know what? Mm-hmm. Us Italians and the Jewish people mm-hmm. have the same thing. We get those big noses.
Well, it's just so cute to see you two together. And she's at the show all the time. And she's a lovely, lovely lady.
She comes
lovely
every night
lady,
to the
yes.
show.
Very lovely. And hands you certain props in that. No, you took her earrings. That was in your earrings.
Yeah,
so
yeah you know
together.
Why? Because when I drop an earring, I usually will hand it off to her because I hate walking around with just one earring. Mm-hmm. People start to think you're gay. So I take
Can't
off the other one as well.
That.
And we should give a little bit of a shout out that New York just legalized gay marriage.
That's right.
So we have to, I mean, it's one state at a time. It's happening. Yeah.
Well, have you guys ever thought about that, you and your longtime partner?
Getting married?
Yeah. I mean, it could be an option
for
you.
I'm all for gay marriage and everything like that, but nobody's getting 50% of my money.
I'm more about the
cash. I'm a gay Republican.
I'm more
There's
about
so
me.
Few of us.
A demographic
I've
of one.
I've met one other in my entire life.
Yeah. I actually know one, so.
Do you?
Now we know three.
They don't approve of themselves? Is that what happens
when you're
a gay Republican?
Okay, we're not,
but
we're
you
not
No,
there.
Seriously, Alex and you haven't really thought of that, of taking that, because you guys have been together for quite a while.
Yeah.
Well, they're kind of off and on, right? Sort of, or?
Yeah, well, it's never been we have all the legal papers. It's a meaning, like if he were to be sick or I were to be sick, he would be able to get, if you're I made sure I had all the ducks in order,
yeah.
So that if God forbid something happened to me, you know, everything would revert right. No problem. Mm-hmm. And
to Cherie.
Exactly.
Your little Maltese.
Let's change it one more time. Let's go to dogs. My dog is in my will.
Yeah, you know.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to jump here too, because we talked about it on the show the other week, that, you know, I lost my two Malteses in 10 days apart. And Frank, you were so sweet to me talking about, when we talked about it. But I literally somehow I'm like, I don't care how it happens. I need them to somehow, I had them cremated and I have their urns in them. I don't care what happens when I die. I don't care who is still left in my life. You sneak those ashes in the casket.
I don't even think you'd have to sneak them, couldn't they?
I've researched it.
And they say no?
You are not allowed to bury a dog in a human cemetery. Any dog remains in a human cemetery. But
even if it's just ashes?
Well, that's the whole thing. So you can put things in my casket, just throw it in there.
I will.
Okay, thank you, Frank.
It's kind of a gray area, I think, on this.
Who's going to prove it's not me?
And I don't think anybody's going to stop you from doing it.
If anything ever happened to my poor dog, I'm just going to sprinkle her over Neiman Marcus so I get to visit her every day.
Good stuff.
I love it. Oh, sorry. I keep interrupting cats all day.
I was just interested and we were talking a little bit about. I'm interested in gay marriage and that whole.
Well, who you want to marry?
I just want you to be able to marry Alex if you want to.
Oh, I thought you meant for yourself. Okay.
No,
okay.
No.
I'm interested in gay marriage.
I'm sort of anti-all marriage, actually.
Are you?
But yet pro if you want to get married.
I think gays should be able to marry so they can suffer along with the straight
people. That's exactly
my point. Right.
I want you guys to know what it's like to be really on the front lines. But do you consider yourself real active in that area? Are you following this issue with
I'm not a political gay person, and I do get yelled at a lot for it. Yeah. I will go to all the events. I will contribute to all the different organizations, but I'm not really a fighter for that. And I got to tell you, I work for a lot of things. I've done AIDS benefits. I've done many,
you've
can
done
imagine.
A lot, yeah.
But then there's other things I work for. I work
I
for like
say,
cancer
make, and, make,
yeah,
a
and
make a wish. You do a lot for Make a Wish Foundation.
And a lot of times the gay community will have an issue with me over not doing something. But I want to say there's only so many hours in a day, and you have no idea how many phone calls I'll get. Can you be here? Can you be there? And you can't do it all and run your life and run a show and run a business. So I do what I can do. But I try to tell them, look, gay people get cancer too. Gay people go blind too.
Exactly.
Gay people do a lot of other things besides just get AIDS. There's so many people that are gay that are working on the AIDS thing that let me put some effort somewhere else and be able to, you know, have everybody be helped.
And you wrote a cookbook.
I did.
That well, you
we give the proceeds to Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is my favorite organization.
Yes, and so you do a lot of things. Your T-shirts, proceeds. I want to make sure we get that out there. A lot of it goes there. But it's very funny. There's one thing that you say. That it goes to a different fund. You say for the music.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I have my products that I designed for Make-A-Wish, and those dollars go to them. And then I talk about my DVD sales, and I say, and this is also going to a really good cause, the Frank Marino's Dying to Get a New Gown Foundation.
And they aren't cheap, those Bob Mackies.
That's right.
You should have a whole telethon.
And the audience just dies, and I just come out and tell them that.
That's
a
great line.
We worked on a project together briefly a few years back about a reality show.
Yeah, so you already know how crazy my life is.
Yes, I do. And we kind of like went through, we were doing a little garage sale. And it was, and these gowns, I literally wanted to just spend, I wanted to spend a month in Frank's closet.
How,
seriously.
Well, how many do you own?
Oh, we have thousands in the warehouse from over the years. But I'd say in my dressing room, there's probably 100.
Wow.
100 in the dressing room. But what we did for the reality show was we had a garage sale. So having a garage sale, normal people lay it on tables and chairs, and we had Neiman Marcus mannequins out front.
And he was price tagging the garage sale like $10,000 for this gown.
Wow.
Like $6,000 for this gown.
What is it, Christian Louboutin shoes?
Yes, so it was like this whole thing. And like Alex is like, okay, no, we have to price this like $20. He's like, are you kidding me? This is a Bob Mackie original.
But in our show, people did come and buy stuff.
They did, yes, they did. It was now, what do you think of like RuPaul's Drag Race?
I'm a little upset with I love the show.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset with the theory because I got to be honest, I'm friends with the main producers of that show, and I gave them an idea about a year before they did it, and verbatim gave them every single aspect of that show. And it was me and an agent and a lawyer on the phone doing it. And then a year later, they come out and they did it with RuPaul. And I am a very big fan of RuPaul's. I was just kind of angry. And then the lawyers got nervous because they have very big lawyers also the other side. And they said, we're just going to keep this in court for so long. It's going to be ridiculous. And nobody wanted to. And my agent didn't want to fight it either. And I'm like, I just wondered to myself, like, did they pay you off to shut
up? Exactly. Yeah.
But you know what? I got my own show. You know, and I'm going to tell you this for everybody, a live performance show makes a lot more money than a reality show.
Oh,
so
sure.
So I'm happier to be where I am than where that would have taken me.
Well, the reason why I asked you is because this is many, many years ago that we had worked together on projects. And I remember you talking about this concept where you wanted to do a competition show and whoever won would get a spot in your show. I remember this whole thing and that you had already been talking to different agencies and you've been talking to networks and talking to producers and the whole thing. So when RuPaul came out, I remember thinking, I got to call Frank. This is his idea.
Yeah. Oh, and it's better. You remember our photographer, our cameraman.
Yes.
Is working on their editing bay. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yes. On that one and the other show, Drag You. And he did put a word in to get me in, but...
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, so I have to make
we
a
We gave
call.
Him all that experience, and he used it. You see that?
Exactly. Well,
wow.
But then again, here we are on Cats with a Dish.
If you weren't, Frank, involved in this form of entertainment or in entertainment at all, what do you think you'd be doing? What would you have done with your skill set?
I was going to go to be a doctor.
Be a doctor?
I was going to say, would you be Joan Rivers? Like, can we talk? Come in and be like, listen, can we talk?
Let me give you the first scoop. You'll be the first one to get this, okay? We're taking the Joan Rivers character out of the advertising at the end of the month. For the first time in 25 years, I'm going to fly without a net.
Wow.
We're not going to count on what I'm known for. We're going to count on just Frank Marino being Frank Marino, like RuPaul is RuPaul.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do the whole show with characters. And I will keep Joan Rivers as the opening character for about 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to phase out the character as well because I don't want to be a celebrity impersonator. I just want to be a drag comedian.
Was she at all involved in the conversation about this decision?
No,
I know
no.
you guys long
had
ago
a lawsuit,
had a problem.
Yeah,
ago.
We came full circle. I
but
actually was
right
in her dressing
today.
Room when I met mm-hmm. the producers of the show, Lacage. So that was kind of odd that I would do her as a character and find that the producers in her audience got the job from that. Did the show here, get here. She sues me when I was like 18 years old for $5 million.
Right.
And thank God we settled because I was like 80 bucks short at the time.
So
we worked that all out. We've become good friends again. I've been on her TV shows late night and daytime.
I've interviewed her about you.
Yeah.
I've talked to her about
you.
Was
she nice? Mm-hmm.
She was very nice. She had just gotten finished with a homeowners association meeting in Manhattan. She's the president of her homeowners association.
Really? She's got a beautiful home in Manhattan.
Yeah, she just laid it on the line there. And she was very kind.
So she's very nice to me now. And we did our 25th anniversary last year. And she came in. And that's the day I had the gallbladder problem.
Oh.
Everybody was at my anniversary but me. And Joan Rivers did a satellite video for me when we were able to actually have the anniversary. So, yes, we went full circle and we're good friends again.
Well, she's
I just want to take her out of the show for my own growth.
Sure,
nothing
just
against
to, yeah, just to because you stand on your own without that character.
Yeah,
and you'll
so.
Use that character as part of a greater sampling of
exactly
of celebs.
Right,
right.
Yeah, the rest of the show will still be Cher, Madonna, Tina, you know, Lady Gaga, Rihanna, and then I will just be Frank Marino, the comedian, drag host.
Okay, I have to ask a question. Do you get Are any of the, I'm going to say the ladies, because they're so beautiful on stage, is there any bickering and diva-ness backstage with all of those ladies and those gentlemen ladies?
I don't know,
ladies?
Because like I told you, I'm
you
in
have
the
your gorgeous
basement,
dressing room?
Like Freddy Krueger.
He's such a diva.
In
he's
attic,
in another
like
property.
Like Frank. So I don't know
his
what goes on.
His dressing room is at Harrah's.
But yeah, it's so far away, it's at Harrah's.
You're like, I don't deal with the lower people. I just show
I do like the idea of Freddy Krueger in drag, though, that he just brought up.
But upstairs, they all tell me they get along. And I do ask them, and they all seem everything's fine. Actually, there's a magazine that did a story on my dancers this month, and I have amazing dancers. Did you like
yes,
my dancers?
Yes, I did like the dancers. And you know what? I think Katz has a bunch of those pairs of pants. That
I have the white.
I think the red vinyl were the pants that I was hoping that Katz was going to get.
I try to step over the line a little bit in this show and make it a little bit more risque, I guess. Because unfortunately, people have seen it all at this point. And you know, you got to I don't want to go too far over the line where I trip over the cliff, but I try to get it right to the edge of provocative. I don't want to do like Madonna and step over where everybody's going, whoa, you know what I'm saying? But just take it right to that line and then, you know, pull it back a little, you know, to get the younger crowd also excited.
Yeah, and the Frank Marino dancers are phenomenal. The choreography is very, I mean, it's intricate. It's a great show.
Right. Well, we have to exit stage left now. We're out of time. We're at the end of it. Frank Marino's Divas Las Vegas, nightly 10 p.m., Dark on Fridays?
Dark on Fridays.
At Imperial Palace. Thanks for coming in, Frank, and we'll do it again.
I'll come back. Thank you.
Right on.
He knows if we find and destroy all the Horcruxes, we'll be able to kill him. I reckon he'll stop at nothing to make sure we don't find the rest. Oh, there's more. One of them's at Hogwarts.
What? You saw it?
I saw the castle and Rowena Ravenclaw. It must have something to do with her. We have to go there now.
What? We can't do that. We've got to plan. We've got to figure it out.
Hermione, when have any of our plans ever actually worked? We plan, we get there, all hell breaks loose.
That's Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, and Rupert Grint as Harry Potter and his friends Hermione and Ron in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, the eighth and final installment in the Harry Potter series. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at movies opening in theaters this week. The Harry Potter series finally comes to a close after meandering a little bit with Deathly Hallows Part 2, although the last few Potter movies did spin their wheels a little bit and feel like they were delaying the story slightly, this one barrels ahead at a breakneck pace and offers little chance for the kind of emotional character development that has really been a high point of the series so far. Still, it's an entertaining and exciting way to wrap up the story, with some great special effects, some exciting action set pieces, and returns from pretty much every character you could possibly imagine from the series. If you've been a fan of Harry Potter so far, you'll definitely enjoy this one as well. I give Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 3 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Disney's animated Winnie the Pooh, refreshingly in 2D and featuring hand-drawn animation, starring the classic, lovable animated bear in his ever-present quest for honey.
Well, hello there, Owl. That is a very fine-looking pot of honey you've got there.
And so remarkably gooey.
Gooey? Oh, that happens to be my personal favorite.
Winnie the Pooh barely runs an hour long, and it's a little bland and dull, although it's a refreshing throwback to an older style of animation. It's little more than a glorified TV special, and while it'll offer nice entertainment for very small children, it doesn't really have much to offer for adults or even older kids. I give Winnie the Pooh 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's opening in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is a headliner at the Shimmer Cabaret, the famous Shimmer Cabaret at Las Vegas Hilton. The title of his show is Impressions That Rock, where he samples from the vocal stylings and visual imagery.
Oh, these are big words.
I thought you said impressions
that
from
rock.
Iraq. Oh,
that
they
rock.
Said, I thought you said from Iraq.
Can I finish this intro?
Not from Iraq. They do rock, though.
Let's wind this back. The title of his show is Impressions That Rock.
By the way, we call it the Shimmer Showroom, just so you know, Katz.
It's cabaret. I know that. Believe me, I've been in that place.
Where he samples from the... We're familiar.
I am going to get to the end of this introduction if it kills me, and I think it will.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Where he samples from the vocal stylings and visual imagery...
Did you write this?
Of such stars, yes, 10 minutes ago. As Rod Stewart, Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top, Bruce Springsteen, Sammy Davis Jr., Neil Diamond, Johnny Cash, and oddly enough, Trisha McCrone.
You
wouldn't be the first one. To talk about how he got to Las Vegas and how he unleashes 30 impressions in a 70-minute show is Greg London.
I like that. That's the best opening I've ever
winded.
Heard.
I'm going to have to take five minutes off.
Well
Dish,
done.
Take over.
He's much better than I. Mine would have been like... Hi, he's at the Hilton.
Yeah,
here's Greg London.
Yeah, I know how you never do the intro, and then I do my intro, and you like start editing the intro.
I know, because I honestly thought you said from Iraq.
Let's try not to fight in front of the kids.
All right, we'll try not
to. I think they got to change the name. It does sound like he does impressions from Iraq.
Yeah.
Impressions that rock.
That's right.
I know, but
Did I say from Iraq?
No,
he does
I,
a mean Saddam Hussein.
I'm tired.
And both of his sons.
I'm
You're
tired.
Talking about the day after 4th of July?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
can
no,
I,
more
can
like,
I tell you what I did for 4th of July?
Yes, what did you do?
I went to, what's his house last night, the clock?
Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav's house.
You sure it was Flavor Flav and not the guy who plays Flavor Flav
it's
in the
real,
Legend
the,
show?
No, okay. This is the real Flavor Flav.
How
we did
that?
About a million fireworks in the cul-de-sac. We showed up, and then all of a sudden, like 10 police cars show up, and then we got out of there quick.
Wow.
So that's we don't know what happened after that.
So do you know Flav?
We know You're Flav because Flav comes to the show. He's one. He's a big supporter of us at the Shimmer Showroom.
Shimmer Cabaret.
It's the Shimmer Cabaret.
I'm on the
but
website.
Can I ask you a question? When did it become a cabaret? Why?
It's always been a cabaret.
What's a cabaret?
Life is a cabaret.
What is a cabaret?
Life is a cabaret. It's like a showroom lounge hybrid.
Hmm. Really?
So you according to their
you
definition.
Just made that up to you.
That's what the Shimmer Cabaret is.
I don't know. I've always known it as the Shimmer Cabaret.
Yeah.
It is the Shimmer Cabaret. Huh.
But more importantly, it's the Greg London showroom right
now. Yeah, it really is. It's the
Greg
London
Greg London Cabaret, if you
want to. London Cabaret.
You know, cabaret is not a bad word. It just means that it's a smaller venue, which means I get to fill it, and it seems like it's packed. Like I.
What does it seat? It's about 300 or so?
Yeah, 425.
Oh, wow. That's almost showroom sized.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, no, it's very low because it has the balcony.
Yeah, upstairs. That's what sets it apart.
And we're not filling the balcony yet. You know, we're a brand new show.
I've never
there.
Been in the balcony at the Shimmer. Have you ever been up there?
Yes, I have.
Really?
I've spent some time in the balcony.
Were you
at the
on date night?
It was on date night.
Is that like
no.
Inspiration Point at the Hilton? Is that what you're going to? Went up there with Chachi on your bicycle. Is that what happened?
Blueberry.
But did you carve your initials into the wall?
You saw me at the Riviera.
Yes,
we both.
Oh, you were there too.
Yes, we were in the balcony.
And here's what I can tell you, Greg, about that. I was going to ask you about this whole thing.
Go straight at me, man.
Here's what I was going to ask about, because what I remember most about that was we saw the show, but after the show. So you and Monty Rock know each other really well.
Yeah, well,
and you guys were struck up a conversation.
Monty Iraq.
Or I think it was Monty. Maybe it was you doing an
impression
of Monty.
Well, he's my first friend in Las Vegas. He sent me a big thing of flowers. I didn't wear flowers.
Did
like Barbie
dolls.
Yeah, Barbie dolls.
Shoes.
A little wine. But you know, I mean, I like that. I needed that. When I first got here, it was the only one. I didn't get anything from Katz. Nothing from Trisha. Mm. But Monty Rock sent me this
I sent Monty a gift. It sounds a lot like what he
exactly.
gave you.
I think he re-gifted. Just recycled. Yeah. He re-gifted. I glue guns for weeks before that.
I spent seven dolls. I had to decapitate it like a half dozen dolls to
crazy.
Get this thing right. Monty, if you're out there.
Well, this has been tough for me because, you know, going from the Riviera,
right.
which was a showroom. Was that
it
a showroom?
It was definitely a showroom. Still
all right, that's showroom. Mm-hmm. To the Hilton, which is a better venue for me, I think, for what I do.
Because sounds better in there. I know that.
Fantastic sound.
Yeah.
Unbelievable sound. Great PA and everything. But, you know, it gave me the opportunity to go from Riviera, which is remodeling now and going to be better and better as it gets better, to the Hilton, which has a fabulous room. It's a great room. I love this room. Mm-hmm. But what I came from was from the West End of London, which is a theatrical presentation of what I do. It was a two-hour show with an intermission to come to a Las Vegas kind of a venue, which is a shortened show, 70 minutes, bang, bang, bang impression, trying to thread a somewhat of a storyline through it, as you remember.
Yeah, kind of autobiographical and talks about your audition at Capitol Records.
That's right.
That's still
those are all real.
Thread. Yeah, that all happened.
It is. You know, I went to, that's a long story, but of course, you know, trying to create going back in time, there was Danny Gans.
Yes.
Obviously. Danny Gans was the impressionist. Gordy Brown, terrific impressionist here in town. And to try and come up with something that was different than what they do. And that's hard because the genre I'm in that I've chosen is this impression thing. And then what do you do that's going to make it different? Well, you can change around the parodies, or you can do different voices, or you can also present it differently with showgirls, with live band, with a storyline, with visual images that go on, multi-image. Then that's what we try to do is high-tech it a little bit.
And you have one of my friends, Tara.
Tara's amazing.
Yes.
She's one of our dancers. We have three beautiful girls. Well, we're trying to hit, you know, all spectrums of a Las Vegas show. Like last night, I went through three shirts on stage. I had to change three times because I was sweating so much. I'm really working my ass off. I'm really singing every song. There is no lip syncing. Yeah. And I have to, you know, during the day, take care of my throat. And I mean, it's a whole lifestyle. I don't even know how I got into this.
Let's start from the very beginning, because you were back and forth between California and London. And by the way, I have to ask, is London of your name because you spent time in London?
No, that's our real name.
It's your real name.
My son's here. He'll back us up here.
Okay, well, wait a minute.
He seems like he has no idea what you're talking about.
Then who would be? He's like, that's not my last name.
Greg Franks.
Who would be? Yes. What happened to that? You had a different last name for a while.
Yeah, what happened was my father adopted me. Jerry Franks adopted me, and I became Greg Franks for a while. But because, you know, we were talking earlier about fathers and stuff and how I never got to say goodbye. I never really had a father. His grandfather, my father, Jason, my son, who's in it with us right now, never was really a part of my life. And later on in my life, I decided to go back to my original name, which was really weird because as Greg Franks, I was still doing corporate events and always having to put, you know, but legal name is Greg London. Airfares, you make sure you put Greg London to all my writers, my room. And it was so stupid why I didn't do that, but I became, here's why I kept it. I became the spotlight entertainer, corporate entertainer of America. I won all these awards. And I couldn't get rid of the name. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So finally, I just cut it off and went for who I felt I, that's 15 years ago almost.
Wow.
So now, but you started off singing, so how did impressions come into the whole? And playing instruments, trumpet and all these
Yeah,
instruments.
Well, I grew up in England. little town called Windsor. Cats, you know Windsor. You know
Windsor, England. I know
Windsor, England. But
they have a great impact on fashion.
They do.
Right? And the House of
with
Windsor.
Ties.
With ties. Windsor tie? A Windsor tie and Windsor knot.
Windsor knot.
Well, there
it's,
you go.
It was developed in Windsor.
Very, very
that,
well
that
done.
Is true.
That is really.
I'll look it up to make sure.
Wow, I was going to say, check that one, Cats.
Am I right about that, Greg?
I don't know about that. I know you tie a Windsor knot.
Yeah.
I know how to do that.
Yeah, sometimes too tight in my case.
Well, it's kind of big. It's a big knot.
It's a double Windsor and a half Windsor.
Right.
But you spent time in Reno.
Yeah.
Also, was that right before Vegas?
Or oh, yeah, right before Vegas.
Right before you came to Las Vegas.
So it's London, Reno, Vegas. So first of all, London, from London to Reno.
To Reno.
Reno, which was a huge, I had no
that's
idea.
That's diametrically opposite,
well, we
opposite,
thought that was like a cowboy town. We didn't know, but we learned after being there for, we were supposed to be there for 3 months, Tricia. We ended up being there for 3 years.
Wow.
In the Sammy Davis showroom there.
And which hotel was that?
Is this the biggest little town in the
it's
world?
It's the biggest little city in the world.
Little city in right. the town, right. something, yeah.
Right, at Harrah's there.
Harrah's,
and,
okay.
And Harrah's is great. It's the original Bill Harrah's mm-hmm. hotel. It's the original stage where Sammy used to perform. It has the original lighting, unfortunately, probably the most original sound as well. But there was a spirit of Sammy in that room. He did 500 shows.
Wow.
And growing up, you talked to your early cats about impressions, but that was the voice. That was the one that started me out. I loved Sammy Davis Jr. I grew up in England during the Beatles, Rolling Stones, The Who. Those were all bands I used to pretend in front of the mirror, but I would impersonate Sammy with his voice. Like I would do, you know, who can, I can't do it right now. I sang last night. Yeah, like who, yeah, I got to work on that. Give me okay. more, give me a couple more minutes.
Okay.
I have to get, yeah, man, like, who can take the sunrise?
Back
to
I love out. It.
But you know, I love that guy. And so he did impressions going up. But yeah, so there was okay. Reno. And Reno mm-hmm. was like, oh my God, how are we going to go from London, West End, theatrical district to Reno? But I had a great time.
Yeah.
And I have nothing bad to say about Reno because I loved it. And Reno, of course, next to Lake Tahoe.
Right.
And
exactly.
My son goes to school there now still because we loved it. And then Las Vegas. And you know, Las Vegas, that's where things changed for me because I was used to sold out rooms. West End, we did terrific. And then, of course, in my life doing shows around the country, I always did corporate shows, which were always pre-sold out.
Yeah.
You know, well, here I am where there's like 300 shows, and it's really a whole different world now.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're one of, you know, so many shows.
You're not the main show.
You're not
town.
The big
there's,
fish
there's
in the pond
anymore.
There's
a lot of shows too, that people
right.
chose to see.
And you know, and the whole thing with the impression thing is, well, what do people want to see? Do they want to see a guy that just sings songs? You know, I had songs on radio. I did pretty well. Maybe it's if you're online, they hit number 5 in some markets in America about 2 years ago. And I thought, well, maybe I'll do that. But the voice thing, people really loved.
Mm-hmm.
And I love doing it. I love entertaining. I'm an entertainer.
So now, how did it get to the point of, we kind of touched on this and then we got off on a Windsor knot conversation. But so how did it turn from just singing to impressions? Just because you loved to sing along to your favorite people? Is
nope.
that it? Or?
No, that's a story back that goes way back about 15 years ago, right when I maybe changed my name, actually, when I was working at Pebble Beach, California, and I was doing a show for General Electric, and a guy named Jack Welch walked over to me. He was doing a GE plastics party, General Electric, and he was the president of GE mm-hmm. New York, mm-hmm. and he said, can you do Willie Nelson and Julio Iglesias to All the Girls I Loved Before?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, I can do that. In fact, I think I can do both those voices. I'm going to just come up with it. And I did the impression. Next thing I know, some guy walks over and says, can you do Bermuda next week? We'll give you $10,000. Like that.
Hello.
And I mean, I was charging $600 that time. The whole band. I was making $80,
yeah,
you know?
Wow, that's
and
a huge upgrade.
I realized later that $10,000 also included the travel and the hotel.
Uh-huh.
But still, it was a ton of money for me back
yeah.
then. I realized, well, this is where it's at. I'm going to do more corporate stuff. I'm going to do impressions. I'm going to be more of an entertainer. And then this whole thing, not that I hope I'm boring you, but I would do like 5 nights for GE, like one country western night where I was Garth Brooks maybe, and then one night I was Elvis all night, one night I'm Beach Boys all night, one night, and that's how it happened.
Well, you're listening to Cats with a Dish. We're with Greg London, headliner at the Las Vegas Hilton Shimmer Cabaret, or if you will, Shimmer Lounge Showroom. Greg London Theater, whatever you want to call it, you know where it is. Go to the sports book and make a right. who are some of the guys that you admired or were inspired by who did
well,
this?
Well, we talked about Sammy Davis Jr.
Sammy, but
yeah.
Was there Rich Little or Fred Travellino, that genre, or did you just...
And I never saw Danny Gans, but I did I did YouTube him. But no, it was a guy, the original guy that got me interested in doing impressions was John Biner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
gosh.
How, I forgot about him.
Who is brilliant.
Bizarre.
Yes, on Showtime,
bizarre.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was doing something
recently.
A week ago,
we had this conversation, and it was...
He was headlining somewhere.
Right.
Super Dave was on his show. We were just
He was unbelievable. And, of course, Frank Gorshin. Frank Gorshin and John Biner.
Wow.
And I think they were in a show called The Impressionists or The Impersonators. There was an old show on
television.
Yeah.
Those guys are both, they're kind of similar in that they have quite a bit of edge to them.
Absolutely.
They didn't play it right in the middle of the fairway. Mm-hmm. Gorshin was a little twisted.
Yeah.
Biner's show
Did you ever
was
meet
what?
Him? Did you ever meet Gorshin?
Neither of them, no. Mm-hmm.
Has he passed away?
Yeah, he passed away a few years ago.
But Biner's coming back to do a show at the Riviera soon, I'm told.
That was what I saw, that listing, yeah. How interesting.
Yeah, I want to go
what
see
What was
him.
It about those guys?
The fact is that at that time, it was the right time in my life. I was watching. I was turned on by it. I loved Frank Gorshin, how he could twist his face. I liked John Biner, how funny he was. And I just thought they entertained. You know, what am I going to do? Because, you know, if you want to go back into trying to make it as a singer, I'm a singer. I'm a real singer. I hope you come see me soon, because in the new show, I do a lot more singing in my voice, too, which are some great arrangements. And I love doing that. But the entertainment side of me knows that you've got to capture people, and you've got to get them on your side. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a hit number one song, you know, you've got to somehow make them believe. So I work my ass off with the impressions and then do my songs and hopefully earn it. Maybe I don't earn it, but people, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I have a very big head about
it. It can be difficult to find the right spot in the show to move
to,
your,
yeah,
own
to
voice
your own
in.
Voice.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when you're doing Billy Gibbons and Bruce Springsteen and Rod Stewart.
Right, right.
And here's me.
Uh-huh.
And
I don't do that.
Johnny Cash with, I mean, where do you, you know, how do you figure out where to do it?
Last song.
Okay.
Last song. It's the only time that I've earned the respect to now try and do that. Although throughout the show, of course, I sing with my own voice. You know, I do the opening song's my own voice. A couple of the songs in the middle are kind of my own voice, but intertwined. But the last song's really mine. And that's where I get to, you know, I don't say, oh, now here's my own voice. I just do it.
Yeah.
And hopefully then people will go, my God, he's doing himself right now.
Okay, wait. I'm going to name drop here.
That's so rare for you.
We talked about this. I spent Grammy night with Billy Gibbons.
Wow.
Oh, that's right.
At
you
Sharon
were hanging
Stone's
out
with one of the great rock
at
guys
Sharon
of all
house.
Time.
He is the man.
It was him and his wife.
Here in town, in Las Vegas?
No, at Sharon Stone's house in L.A.
Wow. You know everybody.
Well, it's not that I am like...
It was
her
a party.
Little sister, Sharon Stone's little sister is a dear friend of mine. Mm. So it's not like, you know, Sharon was like, hey, Trish, come on. You know,
it was a party on the patio.
It was a party. And so it was... And all of a sudden, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy from ZZ Top. He's sitting next to me.
What did he wear?
Like,
did he have a cool outfit on?
Yeah, he had jeans and he had on a t-shirt, a bunch of like chains and a leather jacket. It was pretty cool. He was going on to another party.
And I love that because I love how original he is. That's the kind of guy I want to do an impression of. Not impersonate. Impersonate is different. You know, impersonators wear the outfit.
Did I say impersonate?
No, but I thought you were thinking that.
No, but I've always been. Honestly, no, this is a question I have
you're
had.
Also
and I've
a
asked
mentalist.
Too.
Yes, I'm the mentalist and impressionist.
Take those coins off your eyes. No, I've always been interested in the difference between impressions and impersonations.
Me too.
And
I don't know
I think
what
Gans,
it is.
I'd interviewed Gans years ago when he was still at the Rio, and he explained to me that an impersonation has more of you in it than an impression has more of you in it than impersonation, I think is how he put it. Is that right? What is the difference?
Well,
why do you
I think differently. I think that an impersonator is someone that gets in the clothes and becomes that person the whole night.
Yeah.
And an Elvis impersonator... It'd be Elvis all night. A Frank Sinatra, the Rat Pack, they are impersonators.
The person's own sensibility often
so
doesn't
do
come out.
You just multiple impressions throughout the night.
An impressionist, I don't understand the ist part of it. I'd like you to look that up, by the way. Is that a Greek or something for ist? What's an ist? What
know.
Is an illusionist?
You're Greek. You're Greek.
I don't know.
I don't know what the ist thing is, but an impressionist, I think, is someone that does multi-people. Yeah, is one of
again.
Many. Yeah, is a guy that does different things. You know, but it's like magic. I'm willing to give it away. I'm going to tell you right now, I it's not a big deal. Anybody can really pull it off. And the way being a voice guy is a lot like a magician.
Mm-hmm.
Magicians use boxes. They're all boxes. You turn around, some of the guys turn the box and it's been removed. The same thing with an impressionist. You only can do a voice, but you have to create the image in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of times the impressionist will say, and now I'm about to do whatever the name is. Okay? It's a it's a kind of a cheap way of doing it, but I don't mind mm-hmm. telling you the truth, that you'll say, I'm doing Bruce Springsteen, and then doing it, because you got to set it up in the mind of the person.
That's interesting. That creating, I never thought of that.
And then what I do is I create, uh-huh. first, I go
I get
further,
why that is. Uh-huh.
And I wear the wig and, of course, mm-hmm. the look to make it look more, even to get the original guitar yeah. of the guy. And maybe I'm not spot on in the voice, but I get enough to people to believe I may be that close to that artist. So it's a little magical in a way.
Yeah, they're not spending any time during the That's performance fair. Trying to figure out what it is exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because even if someone was to do a spot on Bruce Springsteen, it could be that you're not quite marking it in your head because you've seen five other
versions of Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Or you've seen, in the show, you've seen five other performances and it's hard to catch up
with.
Do
you find
who.
This interesting that I'm telling you about? Is this something
I
that you
do,
like
no,
to?
I do. No, I do. We honestly ask a question. It's mm-hmm. kind of like if you say, don't think about purple elephants, of course you're going to think about purple elephants.
Well, that's not fair because I think of purple elephants all the time.
Whatever.
That's just
that's true.
Me.
I forgot that you have a purple
actually,
elephant
purple, purple monkeys also.
Oh, but there's a line there. I'm not going to use it. No, the other thing, there's something else
What's
that I read
What's off your list?
Research.
You got a big list here.
I research. Believe
wow.
it or not. I know people think I just show up.
You got me that Greg Franks thing.
I'll tell you what.
Talk to you about Greg Franks.
I'll tell you what the list says. Dozen eggs, box of crunch berries, pick up dry cleaning. That's not notes.
No.
What is going on here,
no,
Dish? You're faking it again.
One of the first shows I ever did, which is something that has just come back on Broadway, when I used to do musical theater, one of the first shows I ever did was Anything Goes.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
Well, then if you've done your homework there.
You were with Cheetah Rivera in
yeah.
Anything Goes.
Cheetah Rivera.
How cool is that?
Who
was
opened
one of my,
Chicago in Las Vegas, by the way.
Cheetah Rivera, one of mm-hmm. course. Now, Ooh. I don't talk to her anymore, awesome. But for a while we had a little bit of a back and forth friendship. But I did Billy in Anything Goes. That's my background. So
That's
it did
a
start,
great role.
It's a great role. But I also was
Billy. So you
got
to dress like a priest for a little bit there.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
uh-huh. But I was Billy in three. I was Billy in Oklahoma, Billy in Anything Goes, Billy in Carousel.
Billy,
wow.
Billy Gibbons in your show.
Billy
now.
Gibbons
There's
in
another
my
Billy.
Show. But musical comedy, that's where I grew up. That's yeah. my life. Because, again, my life was England, Windsor Theater, a little theater in Windsor, where I did all my shows, came to America, got into entertainment, again, with musical comedy, met Cheetah Rivera, did the show with her, Music Man, Harold Hill, all that. That's so good. If you're an entertainer, a young person listening right now, start with musical comedy. Start with the singing those kind of songs. They're great for you, and they give you the I got whatever it is. I'm not afraid of an audience now because of that. Mm-hmm. You learn so much. The worst thing that ever happened during musical comedy was one day I was performing in San Francisco at the Golden Gate Theater. I was playing Anything Goes. I mean Oklahoma. I had lost my voice, and the first note you come out to, Curly, that's Curly, not Billy. Curly comes out, and you've got a saddle. And you go, there's a bright golden haze on the meadow, like that kind of thing, But I'd lost my voice.
Oh.
And the director said, you're going to go on. There's no understudy. You're going on. So I got my saddle and I went, there's a bright golden haze on the meadow. And I saw, can you imagine?
Oh,
I saw heads drop.
Oh,
I've never been so embarrassed. In my
nowhere to
life.
Go.
Must have been 800 people.
Oh,
that
dear.
Thought I was the worst thing they've ever seen.
Oh.
I almost gave up entertainment that night.
Oh, my God.
Well, thank God for us you did it.
Yeah, it's great, Greg. We have to close the... Close the cabaret.
I love talking
to you.
Cabaret.
Life is a cabaret.
The Cats and Dish cabaret.
I love you guys, man.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you so much for coming down. We've been a long time coming to get you in here, and we need to get back to you to see the second, the graduated version of the show at the Las Vegas Hilton Shimmer Cabaret. What nights? You're
just Dark Thursdays and Fridays.
Dark Thursday, Friday.
And then we're going to be back after the go to France to perform after the 5th of August. We'll be back Thursday through Sunday.
All right. Check him out there. Thanks so much, Greg. London Impressions. That. Rock.
The bloody rock.